He said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the old trains, new trains, all the trains, and we're going to repaint all the trains. The ones that were metal, they found a special cleaner that would clean it off. The ones that were painted, we're going to paint them. And here's what we're going to do. On every trip, like when they stop, for example, out in Brooklyn, before the turnaround, if there is any graffiti on them, we are going to paint them on the spot before they go back in the city. No single train will be allowed to go with graffiti on it for any one trip. Second thing was, we're going to have a station that cleans them out. No trash will be allowed on these trains. It's the first thing that they did. And they said, we have reclaimed them. No train will ever be this way again. So then they began to find patterns. Like, for example, in Brooklyn, there was a place where trains would stop, and they'd be there very often for a turnover for 3 days. In those 3 days, the trains were totally painted. So they hid and they watched the process, and they found out it took 3 days to actually graffiti a train. The first day, they came in and they painted it white, the kids did. The second day, they came in stenciled it all. And the third day, they came in and did the colors. So here's what they did. Once they learned the pattern, they'd wait 3 days. And the minute the kids were done, they'd wait till they crossed over the fence. They wouldn't do anything to persecute them. And they'd go out and take whitewash, and they'd wash over what they'd spent 3 days painting. The kids would cry. They'd bawl. And they did it over and over again to say, you can do whatever you want. You can paint as many times as you want, but this will never see the light of day. After 3 days of hard work over and over again, guess what they did? They stopped even painting them. Now, what happened is, in that environment, people are entering a new environment. That was the first piece. It took them 7 years to get this done, 6.5 years. The second thing they did is they hired a new police, head of police for the subway system. And he was a student of the broken windows theory also. And here's what he did. He said, we're not going to go after murder. We're not going to go after rape. We're going to go after people who jump and don't pay the fare. Now, the cost of going on the subway was $1.25, $1.25. Nobody ever prosecuted people. Why? Because to prosecute somebody over $1.25, here's what the officer had to do. He had to book them. He had to take them down to the station house. He had to go through all the process of filing, which took 3/4 of a day. And when they went to court, what do you think they got? Slap on the hand. So guess what this guy did? He said, we're going to create an environment where everybody knows, because we're enforcing the most minute thing, it'll change murders. And it was counterintuitive to everybody but the man who did this. And here's what he did, though. In order to make this work, he took all of his officers. Do you think policemen wanted to stop people and nail them for $1.25 and then go to have to appear in court and then see the guy get slapped in his hand and nothing happened? Since they couldn't change the court system that time, here's what they did instead. The head of police set it up so that what he had was a whole group of plainclothes police officers, top detectives who didn't want to do this. He set up 8 of them each at the 8 biggest stations where people were breaking the law the most, meaning not paying the fares, jumping over the turnstiles, jamming the turnstiles, etc. And he'd get people to nab these guys, and they would daisy chain them handcuffed together. So they'd have 20 people handcuffed. And they'd make sure everybody saw them. The next group, they'd hide and they'd bring them out. And then they had 50 people handcuffed. So everybody coming in and seeing this. And then he created a mobile station. He got a bus, and he had the bus right outside, so they'd have to drive back downtown. They took everybody in there, and they had computers and fax machines, and he did one other brilliant thing. He insisted that they not just book them, but that they run their records to see if they had any warrants out for their arrest. And that was like what changed it all. 1 out of every 7 had a warrant. 1 out of every 20 was carrying a weapon. Write those two numbers down. 1 out of every 7 had a warrant. 1 out of every 20 was carrying a weapon. So guess what? For the police, did they want to do this now? It was like Cracker Jack. You never know what you're going to have inside. Am I going to have a weapon? Am I going to have a warrant? It was like, this is the coolest thing in the world. I got 20 guys, and guess what? I got 3 warrants, and I got a weapon already here. Like every time they booked 20 people, which they could do in 5 minutes, it was like a total payoff. Police officers have the time of their life. They're loving it. Plus, what do you think happened? Everybody sees 40 people chained to the side, right? And then what other side effect would come from this? Would criminals, are they going to carry a weapon now when they get on the subway? So guess what happened? Crime drops by 2/3. And then guess what? Giuliani was elected the mayor. And guess who he hired to run the police department? The guy that runs the subway system. And guess what he did? Same thing. Why did they cut crime in all of New York City? Anybody know how they did it? Same thing. They didn't go after the big crimes. They went after the quality of life crimes. Who knows what the number one thing they went after first? Anybody know? Peddlers, the people that do the squeegee and then demand money from you, the people that pee on the sidewalk. Pee on the sidewalk, you went to jail. Before pee on the sidewalk, nothing happened to you. And guess what they did to those guys that peed, the squeegee guys, the vendors? Guess what they did to all of them when they booked them? Check for their warrants, check for a weapon. Guess what? Took the crime in New York City, the biggest drop in the history of recorded crime in New York City, by just basically repairing the broken windows. By changing the context, they changed the big crimes. Because when you change the context, everything changes. Now, it's interesting because I live in various parts of the world. I was figuring out where I lived last year, and my supposed home in La Jolla, I've been 7 days this last year. And one of the reasons that I realized is that Sage, one of the places that we have in the United States that we go to, we have a little house I bought like 15 years ago. It was like an escape little place. It's the smallest home I have, anything else, but it's in Palm Springs. It's in a golf course community in a place called PGA West. And so we've gone there, and we've had a good time there. My girl's so happy there and enjoy being there. And I've actually decided to relocate our primary residence in the States to Palm Springs. I love the sun, love things, but I really know the main reason is because everywhere I go with my wife, when I'm not with her, she's accosted. Everywhere. New York is insane. South Beach, Florida. We love South Beach, but I never have her go out without me there. She's an attractive woman, and it's a brutal situation. So I'm with her as much as humanly possible. I hate to have her go anyplace without me. I take her to Palm Springs. It's a totally different environment. Palm Springs is all order. If you ever go to Palm Springs, California, everybody's in a golf cart. Everybody's playing golf. They go there. It's a different mindset. You go there, you feel like you're on vacation if you're not on vacation. It's always sunny. The temperature is always perfect. During the summer, we're not there. It's not perfect then. It's 110 degrees, but we're not there then. We're a different part of the world. And people treat people differently. And it's an older community overall. It's a totally different environment. I finally realized why. There are no role models of anything but order there. Nobody pees on the sidewalk. Nobody's drunk. Go to South Beach. And every time we go to South Beach, Sage and I love to go down there and hang out and stuff. And we'll go to like Johnny Rockets and have a veggie burger. And we have this favorite guy that we goes by, and he's always on LSD, stoned out of his mind, walking by. And it's not only tolerated, it's humorous. It's accepted. It's there. And the level of violence there is through the roof. How many follow? Right? So context shapes everything.
This session continues on the next CD.